Welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast.
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 Your source for the truth in health and fitness. Now here are your podcast personal trainers, Keon and Tyler.
Hello and welcome to the True Fitness Academy Podcast. I'm Keon.
And I'm Tyler.
And we're your podcast personal trainers for today, Tuesday the 5th of the new year, January. Very exciting times.
It is.
Like, you know, today, I don't know, for some reason, I just have big expectations for 2010.
Today was my first day, it being Monday, well, it's Tuesday, but we're recording this on Monday.
Right.
My first time at the gym this morning, it was packed, even at, you know, 6 o'clock when I get there.
Really? Yeah. Oh, man. I was working this weekend. I worked both morning, Saturday and Sunday. Saturday, every single piece of cardio equipment was taken. The weight room was like 5 more extra people. And for the gym I work at, that's kind of packed. But the classes, wall to wall. We had step class. The steps were almost touching. It was that close.
Yeah. It was hilarious. Like, people were parking on the street, not in the parking lot. It was... I had somebody waiting for me while I was, like, exiting. Like, it was pretty entertaining. I thought that... It was kind of funny because the guy I work out with, we were like kind of like, okay, there's a new face. Let's see how long they last. You know, it's the people before the New Year's that we know.
Right.
Now it's the people now. It's like, let's see who decides to show up.
Right. It's also funny. You can like kind of classify, like, you have the teams of girls that come in, like the 3 girls at a time, you know? Like, have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Where you have, like, 3 people, like, come in. They're like, let's do this together. And one of them, like, has been doing it. She's like, sure, whatever. Come and work out with me. And so that's also entertaining. And you have you had an influx of college students? That we've had that at the club.
Yeah, I did notice that there was a younger group.
They're on break and whatnot. So today, we are going to be responding to an email. And this is the one I really liked this email because it was really well constructed and actually called us on some crap. Like, I'm going to read her lastly and just kind of own up to this right up front. This is from...
we're calling her lastly?
No. Her lastly, like at the end of her email.
Oh, okay.
Like...
Her last part.
In conclusion, kind of.
Oh.
It's Genevieve. And Genevieve, thank you for the email. Really appreciate it. She says, lastly, I just want to say that while I found your bread topic podcast to be completely worthless, which, in all honesty, that was kind of one of our throwaways.
And
thank you for calling us on that. That was one, like, crap we need to fill, like, we need something to do. And we kind of just did that off the top of our head without any preparation. So, sorry for that. But most of this email is about our running podcast that we did. So, should I read this in its entirety and we'll just kind of play off of it? Because it's kind of a long email.
Yeah, we'll go back and forth.
Okay. She's new to listening to the podcast and she loves it. I'm going to read it in first person from here on out because I just kept...
That would be difficult.
I'm big into running and I found a lot of your tips on stretching, nutrition, and strength training has helped boost my running. I'm certainly no running expert, but I'm a lifelong runner and a girls running coach. I volunteer coach 8 to 13-year-old girls in the D.C. area for a national organization called Girls on the Run. I have numerous races for myself, half marathon and marathon, including my calendar this year. While I think you guys are hilarious and very helpful and informative 99% of the time, thank you.
I'll classify 99% of the time.
Yeah, 99% of the time.
I'll go as low as 97. I'm going.
The thing is, I think we speak from a place that... We mean to be true 100% of the time, but we're probably true 90% of the time.
Yeah.
At the 10% that, whatever.
I misheard it wrong, or we misheard the question wrong,
or we said something wrong,
but we meant it the other way.
Right. And I think that's...
Which is usually my thing. I mean one thing, and I say the other, and vice versa.
And after reading through this email, I think some of the things I said weren't the things I meant.
Okay.
So that's kind of what the theme of this email is going to be, because she's right 90% of what she says.
Okay.
So I want to start off with that, Genevieve. Or maybe it's Genevieve.
I don't know.
Because I don't know if it's the French pronunciation or the American.
I had a friend. She's from D.C., so she has to be American.
That's probably true. Continuing.
Probably not, because I bet you D.C. has the most, like, embassies and stuff like that. Yeah, I bet you it could be. I don't know. It doesn't really matter.
Continuing.
G.
I absolutely hated your running episode, number 49, and found a lot of the information to be inaccurate or not focused toward the average or beginning runner, which was kind of true, I think.
I didn't re-listen to it.
Neither did I, which is, I'm kind of
going off
memory.
But let's just keep going.
So, since you guys asked at the end of your episode for feedback, for whatever worth, here it goes. And for whatever it worth, this is actually very, very good information, and we'll just continue on. One, your pet peeve, that's me, Keon's, on people who place their feet wrong, outwardly or inwardly. Their foot being in the wrong place is very likely not because they are lazy or don't care. Some people truly do overpronate inward or supinate outward. So if you flatten out your foot, that's pronation. If you walk on your pinky toe, that's supination. So thank you. Yeah. Supination, like when you're holding a cup of soup. Pronation, that is there's no mental hook for that. So because your hand pronates and supinates as well. People have high arches, normal arches, flat feet, are maybe pigeon-toed, etc. Now this is very true because Tyler has very, very high arches. I have had flat feet. But I'm going to continue with this before we get into a distinction I want to make. Some people are not naturally genetically blessed with perfect footfall. Very true. So while people can be conscious of their form and footfall and take measures to correct it, sometimes and oftentimes they cannot correct it themselves. That's why going out and getting the proper footwear and getting measured and fitted at a running store is so important, and shoe technology is designed to correct the improper footfalls of various people's feet, which is one of the reasons why there are so many different types of running shoes, motion control, stability, cushioned, orthopedic inserts, etc. Someone may not naturally be able to put their feet forward no matter how hard they try. Most people do not have biomechanically perfect feet, and running shoes attempt to make them naturally imperfect foot motion closer to the neutral ideal. Telling people to try and change their football purposely against their natural footfall might get them injured. All right, so that was point one. A couple things.
So point one was that we were saying that you should try and run with your foot straight.
Right, like on rails.
Some people, they can't do that, so when doing that, you might... Okay, continue.
So one quick distinction that I found that the running world and the fitness world have a slight disagreement on is that pronation and supination are the same as a lateral turnout and an inward turnout. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
if you're pigeon-toed or penguin-toed.
Penguin-toed. So a lot of the running people I talk to always say that... Oh, when they see someone with a lateral turnout, they're pronating, which they go together, but do this for me. Your ankle can't laterally rotate very much on its own. It comes from the hip. So that's a hip issue, not a foot issue technically. If you're doing it sitting down, yeah, you can rotate from your ankle. But if you're running and standing, you can't do it typically. It's really, really difficult to not move your hip. So that's one quick distinction. So pronation, supination is ankle, lateral turnout, and inward turnout is a hip issue. And since it's a muscular thing, you can typically help correct that. And I'm not saying you can get to this perfect ideal. I mean, it's like the anatomical
guy.
Yeah, the position. We want you to get there, but no one's ever going to get there. I mean, Tyler and I are a perfect example of that. Like, I have a longer torso and shorter legs. And I think, I don't know, Tyler and I are fairly the same built. But
I have weird misplaced hips.
Right.
My one hip is, like, noticeably taller than the other one.
Right.
Or higher, I guess you could say.
And then, let's see. Oh, and going to the orthopedic shoes and everything, this is a really touchy issue for me. I am a complete disbeliever in orthopedics. That's from all the research that I've read and all this, I cannot get behind orthopedic shoes. And this is the example. Tyler, if you were teaching someone to swim, and their stroke was wrong, would you put them in a corrective swimsuit or a corrective wetsuit, right? No. If someone was swinging a racket wrong, you wouldn't put them in an arm sling, correct?
Yeah.
So why is it that we do it with our feet?
I don't know. And
exactly.
It's a very interesting thing, the orthopedic shoe and the athletic shoe. When I buy an athletic shoe, I personally buy it on a look or and then B, on how it feels on my foot. Right. I don't run in it. I don't do anything for it because I don't think that they do anything different. I mean, well, I can feel the difference in them, but I know which ones I like how they feel better and this stuff. So, in that, I know that, okay, well, here, try this. I don't like doing things that I'm not used to.
Uh-huh.
It's one of my little quirks. So, if I was to get a shoe that was supposed to help, let's say I had, I walked, what's it called when you're on your toe?
Supination.
Yeah.
It's not like you're walking on your toe, but towards your toe.
Towards
your
ankle my toe.
Rotates
and whatnot.
Towards
it. And this shoe is made towards it, you know, and whatnot. I'm not going to buy that shoe because it hurts. It feels weird.
Uh-huh.
Why would I buy that shoe? I mean, it's like, if it hurt, I like a shoe that feels comfortable.
Right.
Why would I want. I mean, I understand that certain shoes can help certain aspects of stability and them being neutral. And aspects like that. I get that when I put on the shoes, I don't feel it.
Right.
And when I wear a shoe that is supposed to help me with a certain thing, I don't notice a difference than the shoe that I have that doesn't do that. So shoes in that sense, I personally, and this is where the listener and I can disagree, disagree, but running shoes, how they feel on your foot, how you feel with the running, and how they look is all that really matters to me.
Right. My concern is this, is that by putting this massive pad around your heel isn't necessary for running. I mean, that's a risky statement to say, but, I mean, we've been running without heel support and all that for a very long time. I mean, pre-1972, that's when the first sneaker athletic jogging shoe came out by Nike. Before that, injuries were actually down, and people are saying, oh, well, it was less recorded. No, actually, we have the exact same things. Achilles tendonitis is up 10%. All these injuries are up. And there are a lot of, there's a few doctors. There's Dr., what's his name? Lieberman. He's a, Harvard doctor. And, where is his? Professor of anthropology. So it's like, wait, how is an anthropologist going to speak to running? Well, I mean, that's what he's been studying. He studies biomechanics as well, the foot and all this and how we've ran in the past. And so if there's that, and there's a few doctors, there's a physical therapist in Ireland who's coming out with that, with some research saying that the running shoe might not be the best thing for us. And to me, it's just, If we're not meant to run on our heels, like, that's what causes a lot of the overpronation. If you heel strike a lot, your foot's going to naturally collapse down.
It's going to pick a side.
It typically goes to pronation when you do a heel strike. That's why a lot of people get the shoe that has a lot of support. There's not a lot of people who get low support shoes. But, I mean, a lot of track athletes, track programs, they don't train in shoes. They do a lot of barefoot running, or they'll do it with track flats. And there's a big movement that's coming out against the running shoe. And that's the side of the fence that I am on. And Genevieve, I understand your point. And I just disagree with it. I mean, there are two sides to that. I just disagree with the shoe. So
there's that.
And then,
point two.
Well, before we move on to that, most people not have, telling people to change their footfall purposefully against their natural footfall might get them injured. Well, that's only if they're running wrong. Like, there's a right way to run and a wrong way to run. And if they're doing it wrong, even putting them in an orthopedic shoe is just going to delay the injury, in my experience. So, I'm not trying, I mean, and yes, this is not for all people. This is for... I mean, it's such a complicated issue, and I don't want to, like, alienate you, Genevieve. Yeah, exactly. And because a lot of, I mean, for some people, orthopedic shoes might be appropriate. They might have a messed up foot. They might, you know, need that stability. So let's move on. I strongly disagree with your advice to beginning runners not to join a running group. We said that? I guess we said that.
I don't.
Let's continue.
Let's just say we did.
Okay. Yeah, we probably did. We listened to it and she did. Ask anyone who has successfully completed their first 5K, 10K, half marathon, or marathon. I bet the majority of people will tell you they had help getting started and keep up with their running. Being Beginning running coaches agree that one of the best ways to stick with your exercise program is to get a training partner. One or two people is good, but three or four and more are even better. When someone is counting on you as much as you're counting on him or her, it's much tougher to blow off a workout. But you're so I agree with you there. I think we probably said something, misspoke, but I completely agree with that, Genevieve. That's 100% accurate.
No, I fully agree with that. In the running group, I would say more in the sense of running groups, I would get in a running group that I felt would be more at my pace.
That's what she continues on to say.
Okay.
So I paused there because I, you know what? They asked me to, at my gym, they asked me to lead a half marathon training group. And I think it's great. So I completely agree that the running group should meet your level of ability and all that. So,
or just a little bit above you, yes, so that you can actually
get to that level and everything. But then she says, but you're right, it has to be someone of similar ability. So exactly what we were agreeing with, who is supportive and not competitive with you. Well, a little bit of competition's okay.
I think competitive.
Well, depends on your spirit. Depends on if you're a competitive person or not. Or have tapped into your competitive nature or not. While, yes, there are crazy competitive and fast running groups that wouldn't be appropriate for a beginner, there are probably just as many, if not more, programs designed for beginning runners. True. Run-walk programs, jogging, and even the popular Coach to 5K plans that seem to pop up recently everywhere. People can check with their local running stores that often sponsor weekly running groups, or Runner's World, Meetup.com, and other online running sites. So all great resources, and I highly recommend Meetup. I like Meetup a lot. Many big charities help people train for events as well. My first running group was called the Washington, D.C. I Hate Running Meetup Group, and it was awesome. Even though my goals have surpassed that group's training program, I still go sometimes just to be reminded of why I run and why being a part of a community of runners is so helpful and so much fun. And I think that it's like, since running is such an individual activity, it's cool to have that support. Like, that's your team. Like, in rugby, I'm pushed to go compete because otherwise I don't play.
Yeah.
So, that point, I think I completely agree with. Is there anything wrong there? All right. Just pop in. I'm kind of doing a lot of talking today.
No, yeah. Sorry, I was joining right there.
No worries.
But no, it's also running, which isn't my whole forte. I'm not the biggest fan of it. But no, I don't know. Like, yeah, it's one of those things, like, I would join a group if I wanted to run because I have no, I have no desire to run. So if I needed to run for something, I would have to join a group.
Right. Cool. So our last little point. So she says she found a bread topic to be completely worthless, which we admitted was a filler podcast. We're trying to get less and less of those in. I don't think we've done a filler podcast in a while. She continues to say, your interval training podcast with the track workout, which was jog, sprint, squats, push-ups. So you draw, what I was saying is you sprint around the track, jog for a bit, do a push-up, do some push-ups, sprint again. It's on the website. Help me lose that nagging last 5 pounds I couldn't seem to lose for the life of me in just a few weeks. So thank you, Keon. You're my hero. Yeah! So Genevieve, while we don't agree on everything, I hope you understand, I guess, where I'm coming from. I would urge all of our listeners to pick up Born to Run or Why We Run. Born to Run's by Christopher McDougall. It's that it's a really, really good book. I'm on my third time reading it. And while it's not 100% based in science, some of it is anecdotal, experiential stuff. Very good book. I really enjoyed it because it gives you resources to go look at. And all that. Or if you're into looking at running form, my two favorite running resources are Pose Running, that's P-O-S-E, and Chi Running, C-H-I Running. Both of those are really, those two things are really, really improving my running ability. Pose is the American triathlon style of running. That's what they've chosen, and they advocate that midfoot fall, running without your heels, all that. Because your heel, I mean, if you look at it, it's meant for breaking. So it's not meant, it's only needed for standing. So there's that.
Spectacular.
Genevieve, thank you again. That was a really, really well written email. I don't think
we bashed her.
No, I think, yeah, it was just one of those things. we had that other person, the you don't know Jack person of our nutrition, who I felt we bashed a lot, and I don't want to put Genevieve in the same category. I really, really appreciated that
and
email.
We're like that with most of the people that the UConn, the you don't know Jack person, that was more entertainment.
Yeah, I thought content. She was a kind of a
but what I was trying to get at is that what we were trying to get more of is you guys. If you don't agree with something or you don't understand something, email us at podcast@truefitnessacademy.com and we will answer them.
Yep.
That's kind of how we roll.
Very cool. So in our last 10 minutes, Tyler, you had an article you wanted to talk about that you found in the Men's
Oh,
Health?
Oh, yeah. I was on days that I don't have a lot going on, I usually will go and hang out in the sauna a little bit, just kind of take a me moment. And I was reading Men's Health. I think it was Men's Health. I believe it was the European edition. Gerard Butler was on the cover. That's
so probably. And you said there were naked people in it.
Yeah, there was like random like advertisements for, and it was like naked people. It was weird. I was kind of uncomfortable because there's like people in the sauna too. That was weird.
Oh, got
so,
it.
So I'm reading it, and they were. It was like this model was given his diet plan and his workout and stuff. His workout was. Way into, like, it's entertaining when you read these things and you're like, nobody really lives that life.
Right.
Where it's, you know, you wake up and I have a bowl of cereal and this and this and this. And then it's like, and then 2 hours I do this. And it's like, you don't have a doctor's appointment ever. You don't have a, you know, like.
Well, here's the thing. Like,
it was just very interesting.
Like we've said before, those people get paid to look good.
Yeah.
So that's like you waking up and going to work.
No, and I agree with that. And it was just. Aspects of it kind of rubbed me the wrong way, like, just, it was weird. But he made one sentence statement that I was like, huh, that's interesting. I don't know how true this could be. It works for him. Sweet. But he says, I don't eat anything that is in total fat in grams more than the body percent of fat I want to be.
Interesting.
So, like, if you only wanted to be 10% body fat, you would never eat anything
that
has more than 10 grams of fat in it.
Interesting.
And it was just, like, it kind of was, that's what I did. I was just like, that's an interesting concept. Because I don't look at, I just eat what I want and portion stuff for the most part.
Right.
That I then was like, I wonder how much grams of fat are in really a whole bunch of stuff. And I was just, it was an interesting concept.
I'm not sure if I don't think I agree with that.
I don't know, I don't see how it would work.
Because
it's weird.
I mean, I guess if you isolated that one statement, because, I mean, then I could say, oh, if I found a fast food thing that only has 10 grams of fat in it, I'm fine, right?
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he probably had quality food in there, too, because I'm a big fan of coconut oil. I love coconut oil. I think it's great. It doesn't hydrogenate quickly. It holds up to heat well. It tastes good, and it actually, from the nutritionists and the dietitians I've talked to, they say it actually can help burn fat. And it has, I mean, a reasonable amount of fat in it. So, that's an interesting.
No, it was just one of those. It was. I wanted to see your because that was kind of my thing too. I was like, I wonder how much that's just crap and how much of that's really like he. Has done. It's always interesting when I read magazines like that, the comments or the aspects that I get out of. Like, I wish they would have said, yes, that's a good, like, somebody, like, when they interview somebody,
they
make it
commentary.
Seem, yeah, like, they make it seem like everything that they say is the right way to do it.
Right.
So, you automatically think that's true. Like, I wanted, like, them to be, like, in yellow or, like, blue on the side. This is not a healthy thing to do. Do not do this.
Right.
Or like, oh, this does work. You know, duh.
Right.
So that was just an interesting.
Almost
concept.
Like teacher's notes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be. I would like that because, I mean, I guess it's individualized, right? Because that diet's one of those things that, I mean, there's a lot of controversy about. So I wouldn't recommend that for the average person though, because if say you have. I don't know, you're a guy and you have 26% body fat, if you suddenly jump down to a diet with only, and you want to be 10% body fat.
Well, it's per item. It's not like a day.
I know. But still, it's just, I don't think it's a good gradual way of doing things.
Oh, yeah, I agree on that aspect. But it was just, wow, okay. It was just one of those, It made me think a little bit.
Okay. I have something that kind of relates to that. I was at the doctor's office getting my MRI, and I picked up, I think it was Time or Newsweek or the New Yorker or something like that, and it had an article about chefs, like cooks, and it had Alton Brown, Bobby Flay, Mario Batali, pictures of them. So I was like, oh, interesting. And the interview was focusing on Alton Brown, and I only was able to read like a page of it, so I didn't get the full thing, but I read most of what Alton had to say, and I was kind of put off by what he was saying, because the whole article, the premise was that cooks see themselves on TV and are making their cooking more healthy because they were like watching themselves and be like, oh my gosh, I'm fat. You know?
Oh, okay.
So they were like, oh, okay, I need to lose weight. Like, Mario Batali's dropped, like, 50 pounds. Alton Brown's dropped, like, 60 pounds. Like, all these people have dropped weight since they started on TV. But something that that rubbed me so wrong, Alton was like, yeah, I only eat, like, really fresh foods, blah, blah, blah. I eat, like, avocado, salmon. I figured out that you can't eat the really fattening foods ever. And that you can only, you know, blah, blah, blah. I was like, are you kidding me? You can't, you cannot, that is the one of the worst diet advice I've ever gotten. You can't do things in moderation, is pretty much what he's saying. And that just pissed me off.
I am a huge fan of the eating healthy 90% of the time and 10% of the time enjoying life.
Absolutely.
And it's not even enjoying life. Like, you should enjoy life the other 90%, but, like, living it up, enjoying life.
Right, right. Because I think you and I enjoy what we eat. It's a little different, you know? So it's like, we're not eating at McDonald's, which I don't even enjoy.
You get to a point where you just don't enjoy it as much.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one of my buddies at the gym, he asked me, oh, someone's going to McDonald's, you want anything? I was like, no, I'm good. And plus, at the gym.
It's weird. I'd only eat, like, I don't know. I have an issue with gym people already, so when they do weird stuff like that.
Gym people? What do you mean?
You know, like, gym people that, like, walk in with, like, a soda. Or, like, gym people that work at gym that smoke. And, like, that stuff. Like, I always just go, huh, that's an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same as, like, this is, I guess, it's in the same in my book. Like, hairstylists that have shaved heads. You know? Like, I go, huh, way to cop out on that one.
Yeah.
You know? Like.
Yeah, very true. Well, the thing is, like, you can't judge a hairstylist by their hair.
No, I understand that, but it's still, there was that concept of, wow, you don't even have a person that you, like, you just shaved your head. Okay, wow.
Way to go, champ.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, I find that very interesting. Cool. Well, I think that's it for today. You feeling good about this one?
I feel good. My arm itches.
So if you guys disagree, agree with whatever, if you guys are an expert on something and you heard us say something stupid, send us an email. Even if you're not an expert and you heard us say something stupid, pop us an email, podcast@truefitnessacademy.com, and we will either send you an email back or address it on air, depending on the awesomeness of it.
Spectacular.
Very cool. Cool, take us out, Tyler.
I'll leave you with Morgan.
Morgan. Oh, right. I forgot where we were going with this.
Remembered it.
Yeah. Well, you guys have a great day. Enjoy the first Tuesday of the year. And we will talk to you on Wednesday, tomorrow. Peace. He got a glimpse in the bathroom mirror of a man with his pick of girls. One a nice one, a crease in his pillow. One my name he don't want to know. No.